Hello and welcome to the Dorky Mess Mets podcast. I am Charlie DeLuca, and with me is Abba and Corne Hogeveen.
Wow.
We have a lot to get into today. Deadline talk, it's been a week we got to sit on that, and of course, a big series with the Braves this weekend. So let's dive right into it, guys. We'll start with Dell. What are your thoughts on the trade deadline? Obviously, you know, we've had a good bit to, we had, it's been more than a week now, or exactly a week, actually, since the deadline. Maybe, you know, hindsight's 2020, and the moves look a bit better now than they did at the time. But overall thoughts about the deadline, and we'll include Vogelbach and the Naquin trade in that as well. So just, overall, the thoughts about who the Mets acquired and what they were willing to give up.
Right. So I'm glad that we sat on it for a week because immediately everybody was really jumping into this sort of mindset that, oh, the Mets did horrible. I mean, I've seen, like, people grade them anywhere between D to C minus on these acquisitions. But before we get into it, we had to think about what were the Mets' needs, their biggest needs. I mean, they're first place. They were in first place already. You know, the Braves were shortening the gap, but the Mets were doing well. Their biggest needs was to fix the DH position. And the other checkbox for me that they failed to get was the left-handed reliever. But I think that getting Vogelbach was huge, no pun intended. We gave up Holderman, which a lot of people were complaining about because he has 17 great innings in his career, and Vogelbach is this out of shape guy. I thought it was a great move. I'll let Corne talk more about Naquin or Givens, whichever ones he wants to jump into.
Well, first of all, I'm gonna say overall, I think I totally agree with Dell. I would have liked a lefty out of the pen. But we as fans aren't in the conversation. We aren't part of the conversations which GMs have with each other. We don't know asking prices. So it's always a little bit tough to judge. But overall, that was my only blemish. We heard the name Contreras, who I would have liked the Mets to add, but the price tag seemed to be so high that the Cubs weren't even able to trade Contreras at all. So it wasn't just the Mets that didn't do that. So yeah, overall, Vogelbach, you mentioned, good deal. Holderman, I heard the same thing about giving up Holderman, but he was available on the Rule 5 draft before this year. So I'm fine with that.
Corne, how many years of control is it? That's the big thing there. The years of control that we have with Vogelbach, right?
Yeah, we have him. I guess it's until 2025. So that's a terrific thing. I mean, Holderman obviously also has a lot of control. He's still a young guy. He looked really good. But we're talking about 17 big league innings. Who knows? Maybe in a couple of years we saw that we trade him with, you know, being a maybe 4A guy, as people might call some guys who are between AAA and major league level. Maybe that's it. Maybe he was a very easy replaced guy. The move that I really liked, although I would have liked a lefty, but I liked the Givens trade because we didn't really gave up anything for him, a 22-year-old reliever who was still in low A, 23rd round pick in 2018. I mean, he had some big strikeout numbers, but he's a relief guy. He's a reliever. I mean, odds that he would be any part of the Mets were extremely low, and you get a guy with some experience. played for Buck, and has a great track record. So that's I love that move.
Yeah, no, the one guy that we haven't mentioned yet, Darren Ruff, and I'll refer to you, Corner, because you're the biggest JD Davis fan that I know. What do you think about bringing in a guy like to replace JD Davis and kind of enter into a platoon, a strict platoon? Vogelbach has great numbers against righties. He's been great so far in the 15 games that we've seen him. And then Ruff mashes lefties. I think both of their against righties and lefties are well into the 800s. So what do you think about acquiring Ruff, basically replacing the DH position with him and Vogelbach, and sending away JD Davis to the Giants?
I mean, I will always be a believer in JD. I still am. I mean, he already showed in a couple of games in San Francisco what he is able to do. However, the Mets are in a position to win now, and JD just wasn't performing. And Ruff is a guy who's also under control. He is 36, but he still mashes lefties like you mentioned. So this DH position was a clear need for us. And even if the Mets maybe would have gone the JD Martinez route or anybody else for the DH spot, it could have been that it was eventually for JD Davis. So I'm good with getting Ruff. I think Ruff and Vogelbach as a platoon, you have a close to 900 OPS hitter, and that's huge. And even if one sits on the bench, it gives you options to use Vogelbach as a left-handed batter or Ruff as a right-handed batter in the right situation, as we have seen with Buck. So I'm good with getting trading JD for that. Although I still think JD Davis will be a good hitter, it was time.
Yeah, no, I think we can all agree that, like you said, there definitely is sort of an urgency about wanting to create the best. Obviously, JD and Dom Smith as well just weren't getting it done. So I think it's safe that those guys need to be replaced. And I think Billy Epler did a good job of doing that. And let's go into what he didn't do at the deadline. None of the top prospects, I don't think they gave up a single top 30 prospect at the deadline. Certainly not any of the guys you hear about. You know, Vientos, Mauricio, obviously Alvarez and Batty are kind of untouchables. But Dell, you're a resident prospect guru. You like the idea of holding on to those guys in the upper minors, you know, specifically Vientos. You know, they acquired Ruff. They gave up four players to do it. It's interesting because, and I'll pose this question to you, it seems like Vientos, you know, he's hitting Triple A. His OPS is solid. He's got good numbers. To then acquire Ruff, is interesting because it seemed like they had a solid in-house replacement in Viento. They didn't trade him away, but they also didn't call him up. So I think it's a interesting dynamic here. They held on to their prospects, but they also had major league talent so that they didn't put in so much pressure on a young player coming up for the first time in a.
Yeah, definitely. So this is the one that made me raise my eyebrows only because, you know, we gave up, not only did we give up Davis, but we gave up three pitching prospects with Davis just for Ruff. I felt like there was something missing here. Maybe there was something else we were supposed to get back from the, I don't know, just felt like there was something missing with that trade. I get that you want to make space for Ruff, so you have to send JD Davis back. If you choose to keep Davis and you promote Vientos, who also has been mashing lefties in the minors, you create a logjam with your rosters. You also put pressure on the prospect. He hasn't even started. There's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know just how well that will translate to the major league level when he's getting advanced, you know, sliders and curveballs thrown his way. But yeah, I wasn't too thrilled with all that we gave up, considering that we need a left-handed, you know, reliever, and we give up Zapucki, who's, I believe, is left-handed, you know, could have been a left-handed reliever. He could have been that piece that we need. But then I started thinking about, you know, there's other left-handed pitchers that are in AAA right now, some that are getting back from rehab. Joey Lucchese, for example, who can step into that role. So maybe this is something that Epler thought about, is, hey, why give up a talented prospect when we got Lucchese coming back, who can do that one job as the left-handed reliever? I do think that holding on to your top prospects is a good idea. I mean, look, the Padres gave up the entire San Diego zoo, basically. They gave up all their prospects for Soto and Bell. And so far, I mean, it's going to work out, I think, eventually. But so far, they haven't won a game since the trade, which is kind of troublesome if you're a Padres fan. Right. We gave up Pete Crow Armstrong, who's now like a top 20 prospect, who has really good upside. He seems to be a 5-tool player. We traded him for Javi Baez, who didn't really get us to the playoffs. You know.
Yeah, do you think that maybe they had a little bit of buyer's beware? Obviously, new administration this year with Billy Epler. And some of the other guys in the front office. But do you think, you know, maybe Steve Cohen and Sandy Alderson were a little bit hesitant to give away, you know, some of their best for another rental or a piece at the deadline because of how they got burned last year?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, and I think Epler or Alderson has made it public that, you know, they've had buyer remorse after that deal. Mm. And, you know, you give up one of these guys, they're in control for a long time. I mean, the price tag for Contreras must have been extravagant because there was a lot of teams linked to him and nobody were able to get him. So that makes me wonder what exactly they wanted. It would have probably been more than just Vientos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I think you definitely make a good point there. And I think I think the Cubs might have overplayed their hand a little bit. One thing you guys mentioned, and I think Dell touched on a couple of names that it could possibly be, the lack of a lefty reliever acquired. Obviously, we talked last week about potential guys, Andrew Chafin, Gregory Soto on the Tigers, Joe Mantiply on the Diamondbacks, Matt Moore of the Rangers. There were a lot of – and none of them really got moved. And – certainly, I think Givens has good numbers against lefties. You know, they're getting Trevor May back. So, Corne, what are your thoughts on the lack of a lefty reliever in the bullpen as of now? Do you think that they can make it work with the guys they have back there? Or do you think someone like a Joey Lucchese, like Dell mentioned, or a David Peterson could potentially fill that role down the line? In the playoffs from the left-hand side of the mound?
Yeah, the last part in your question is the main thing for me. I mean, for now, I think they are fine to get to the postseason with the bullpen they have. But I am concerned about, you know, getting that last out in the fifth inning. We have all seen the postseason. They go to relievers way early. I mean, the Mets have obviously some pitchers that they will run out there. Probably 7 innings, 8 innings, which arrested Jake and Max. But I mean, for the other two guys, if they are in trouble, you see that the manager might go to the bullpen a little bit quicker than in the regular season. And for me, you know, I know there's a 3-batter rule, but there are some left-handed hitters who just have more trouble facing left-handed pitching. And so you can look at, for example, Givens, who's good against lefties, but you can also look the other way around, that maybe a guy like Matt Olson or Cody Bellinger, who's struggling, but that's the one on top of my head. I couldn't. Juan Soto, maybe. Maybe they aren't as good against lefties. So, I mean, people tend to forget that it works the other way around as well. It's not just, hey, that reliever is good against lefties, but hey, how is that left-handed better against left-handed relievers?
Right.
So, yeah, for the postseason, I would have liked a lefty. I think from Peterson to Lucchesi, I think that's I like Lucchesi more out of the bullpen than Peterson. I think that Scherf against lefties will be nasty. I think he will do a fine job, but yeah, it's not really that shut down lefty like a Jerry Blevins we had in the past. So I'm a bit concerned in the postseason.
Yeah, no, for sure. And Corner just touched on a couple of names there of those big lefty bats that, you know, not only for the rest of this season, but certainly in the playoffs, the Mets will have to get out. You know, look at Matt Olson on the Braves, Juan Soto now on the Padres. Schwarber, the Mets got, you know, have, I think, 7 games coming up against Philadelphia in the next 2 or 3 weeks. Do you have confidence in a person like Joey Lucchesi, who's coming back from Tommy John surgery, hasn't pitched in over a year, or David Peterson, who has little to no experience out of the bullpen? We saw what happened against and Buck tried to use him in that role. He walked Rizzo on 4 pitches and gave up a 2-run game-tying home run to Gleyber Torres. So do you have confidence in either of those two guys to come out of the 2-1 NLDS? Here comes Juan Soto up. You know, is there that confidence in either of those two guys to get that big out?
To me, it's a name that wasn't mentioned for that situation. And, you know, I think Seth Lugo would be that guy that in the postseason that we would rely on. You know, he can be the, was it Minter from the Braves last year, who was just, Will Smith, right? He was like just lights out. Yeah. And then when he came, you know, this year he's been struggling, but in the postseason, I mean, if it wasn't for Will Smith, you know, they could have lost a couple games in the late innings. I think Seth Lugo can be that guy. We've seen him in the past do it. We saw what he did against the Yankees. I think he'll need to step up for that lights out left-handed role. I also like, you know, the last outing. I mean, Joely stepped up. I mean, it was kind of making me a little worried, but I mean, he stepped up as well. So I would have loved to get a Chafin or somebody big like that, but I think with what we have, we should be fine. And I know Corne and I we disagree with this, but I think we're fine. No need to panic.
Yeah, no, and Joely, I totally forgot to mention him, but he's had 2 outings since he's pitched a squalish ball, so. I think, you know, obviously it's small sample size, and in the large part, he's really especially. So, you know, to go to him in the playoffs, I'd be a little bit worried about. But I think I'm kind of in the middle between you guys. If I could play, you know, if I could sit on the fence a little bit, I do think that the bullpen is solid, but I also have a more proven left-handed arm in the back of the pen, but. Where it goes. As of right now, the Mets obviously 7 games up in the division, thanks to in large part to winning 4 out of 5 this past weekend over a big series, no doubt. Obviously, the Mets going into that series were 3.5 up. And so I think there was a little bit of nervousness just around, you know, a 5-game series, even if they would have lost 3 of 5, you know, to only games up. I think, you know, you're comfortable with that. It would have been obviously some, but to win 4 games like they did in such dominant fashion. I mean, other than outside the first 2 innings of that Friday night game, they were. And I just, you know, first off, I just want to state how it looked like Showalter just completely outed Brian Sickner from the get-up. The acquisitions that they've made, Buck was able to pinch it whenever, especially that Friday night game when they were coming back, Ruff and Escobar, both RBI knocks. But just in general, the bullpen use was terrific from Buck. To go to Diaz with for six outs in that first game, I think really set the tone for the rest of the series. And just overall, and you know, you guys can chime in if you have any thoughts on this as well. I just thought for the first time in probably my entire life that the Mets manager was the smartest guy out there on the field.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. I mean, Buck, as you said, you know, him setting the tone with Diaz for the six out. I mean, by now I'm sure the Braves fans completely hate the Narco song because every time they hear it, they know that it's over. But that was like pretty, you know, I thought it was kind of, I mean, I loved Taiwan's face when he found out that.
That was great.
Edwin, that was my reaction too. I was like, what? Another inning? Yeah. Like, no way. I thought somebody else was going to come out, but you know, it just blew my mind. And it definitely, Buck proved that, you know, he's not afraid to make some unorthodox decision as long as it wins games. He treated it like a playoff game and, you know, Manager of the year. That's all I
got to say. Yeah, crunch time. I mean, this was the series where you can make a difference, and a 5-game series against your big rival in 4 days. That doesn't really happen that often, that you have a weekend with 5 games against the competition that tries to beat you. And that first game, that 6-out save. I mean, I thought at first that he would go with Diaz to get through the top of the order. And I already liked that. I think that was a solid move. But then to give him three more that he could handle it. I think Diaz can handle it. And I think the Mets also, I think we are cheering about our manager, but I think some unsung heroes in that series, Joely, you mentioned on Sunday, who gave us 2 1/3 innings. With Max Scherzer, who got 7 in that game after a day with the doubleheader, and the day after Taiwan just went 2 innings. Guys like Trevor Williams, who pitched 4 very, very good innings to give us a chance in that Friday game, which, I mean, even that game, like Charlie mentioned, we had a awful outing by Taiwan Walker, and we still were able to make the most out of it to get to their best bullpen arms, and I think that was huge. I mean, in front of a doubleheader, we used Williams, we used Hunter, and I forget one, but we had one in between. So we didn't really use our big guys. So they were all rested for the next day. Those small things that maybe you see in a loss, those small box score things that you see in a loss, tend to be huge. The only one who didn't do his job was Lopez in that first game of the doubleheader. But the rest, everybody was on point. And I mean, we showed we are the best team in the National League East. And we are, this is the first time I say it out loud, we are going to win the National League East.
Yeah, no, I think after this weekend, you definitely have confidence for the rest of the way. Obviously, there's more big games against Atlanta in Atlanta. Be fired up for. And then, of course, the penultimate series of the season is against Atlanta. So still 7 games left. So 7 games out for Atlanta. So there is room and time to make up the ground, and we've already seen them close the gap quickly. But with the way that the Mets dominated the Braves this weekend, I think it's safe to say that you'd have to consider the Mets a very heavy favorite. And I want to go ahead.
We did everything better in that series.
Yeah. Base running. I mean, outside of Guillaume getting thrown out at the plate Friday night when they were losing 8-1. all the fundamentals were there, and it just, you know, I don't know about you guys, but it just seemed like the Braves were tired. Like they didn't have the energy. Like we saw Acuña be a late scratch. You know, and it just seemed the Mets were much more energetic the whole weekend. Obviously, with five games in 4 days, there's going to be fatigue. Especially during that last game, it seemed like the Mets just had so much more energy than Atlanta, Dale.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one thing I do, you know, like that Buck does is that, you know, he uses every single guy in his roster to, you know, he understands who they are. And, you know, like you said, he outmatched, you know, he outmatches you. He knows when it's time to take out Canna or, you know, when Vogelbach needs to step in, and he gives everybody opportunities. And, you know, it's very, the guys, they love him. There's definitely very good chemistry in this club, which is nice to see. And I mean, can we talk about the DeGrom game? I mean, come on. Yeah, I was
just going to get in. You go in, you win the first game of the doubleheader on Saturday. So you've won two. And then you got Scherzer on Saturday night, DeGrom on, and absolutely dominate. Scherzer goes seven, double-digit strikeout game, no runs, and then DeGrom is perfect for five-thirds. And I mean, I don't know about you guys, but in my lifetime, I mean, I don't want you to age yourselves here, but this is the best Mets team I've ever seen. You know, I was too young for 2000. 2006 was when I just started kind of getting into baseball. So I knew the Mets were good, but I couldn't really contextualize it in the grand scheme of things. But and then of course 2015 was a on as well. But I mean, you have Scherzer and DeGrom go back to back. And I mean, SNY showed a stat during the game. I don't know if you guys caught this, but over the last 5 years, DeGrom and Scherzer are first and second, either first or second, depending on what stat you're in K's per nine, opponent's average, opponent's open, ERA, like every major pitching stat you'd want to lead in, it's either DeGrom 1, Scherzer 2, or Scherzer 1, DeGrom 2 since 2018.
And yeah, it just, that was awesome.
It's amazing. I don't know how to explain it, but watching DeGrom pitch, it's so effortless, and he just dominates. He could just – I've never seen someone throw 102 miles per hour with such motion and such little – like, it seems like he's not even trying, and yet it's coming out 100 plus. Add in the 90 – and he throws two pitches, and he makes hitters look like – they're in single A. I mean, Austin Riley was one of the hottest hitters coming into that series. Against DeGrom, he looked like a high scorer.
Yeah, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it's what he does with the slider. It's how he throws it. It looks like the fastball is coming at you, and then it just swipes across the plate, and it leaves them looking ridiculous. And for him to do this is his first start in like a year, for him to be as dominant as he was, oh, forget about it. I mean, the postseason is going to be fun.
Yeah, no, I mean, and Corner, you kind of touched on this earlier about them being favorites in the NL East. I mean, I say it because the Met fan in me refuses to be optimistic.
Don't do it.
Yeah, no, I don't want to, but I may. I mean, as of right now, I mean, Scherzer and DeGrom, There's no team that can match that. You in a postseason series, you have to beat twice. You know, in a seven game series, you have to beat one of them twice. And I don't know. It's obviously a long way away, and hopefully they get there healthy. Not, you know, long term. You know, going into October, it's hard to imagine a team matching of the Mets right now.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if those two guys are healthy, and I'm just still baffled, like Dell said, that you can be so dominant after 30 months. He's still doing that same thing You know, with that fastballs outside on the same plane, and then these sliders on the glove hand side. I expected maybe a little bit of, you know, finesse that he might lose after 13 months out, but he didn't. He just was
able. He
gets
stronger, Cornet. He gets stronger. How is it possible? The older he gets, the stronger he gets. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, coming back from injury, you know, we've seen DeGrom be, you know, rookie of the year, be an all-star, throwing 90, working in a changeup and the occasional curveball. He's basically a pitcher. He never throws his changeup. I think he probably threw one balls on Sunday.
Yeah, he didn't.
Wipes out hitters. I mean, he only had 75 pitches and was into the sixth inning. It's insane. I think Ron Darling said it best when he said that, you know, you always see this kind of domination in the league when the 12-year-old has a mustache. And I think that. Up, but he just it's like he's facing 10 years younger than him, how much he dominates.
Didn't he have the first 17 sliders that were swung at were swings and misses?
Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. That's
he went 90%, I think, right? On
the last
18 out of 20 was the whiff.
Yeah, but that were the last two he threw to. Arianza, I guess, or the Harris. Sorry, that were the last two he threw, and those were just very fouled off, so to speak.
Right. So he didn't have a single slider put in play.
No.
Yeah.
And
no, that's crazy.
I mean, 18 out of 20 swings and misses. I mean,
yeah,
it was the highest. It was the highest whiff rate ever since they started. Tracking that, I think in 2015, no pitcher had ever had a higher whiff rate on his slider.
From a two pitch pitcher, like you said, it's not like he has a six pitch arsenal. It's
they know it's coming, and they know like glove side. It's either going to be a fastball, on the glove side or a slider. Like I said, he really never throws his changeup, and he mixes in one or two curveballs. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy.
I mean, a slider should not be moving 96 miles an hour. I mean, it's unheard of. But when he'll throw a fastball right down the middle and guys are expecting the slider outside the zone and they look ridiculous, you know, just standing there, like, what the hell just happened? And that's what I love about DeGrom, is he has the ability to do that. When he releases the ball, it looks exactly the same.
Yeah. No, it does. I think it was last year when he was having an historic season before he got in. Where I saw this image of his release point on all, and it's almost a perfect circle. Like, he has the same exact release point every pitch that he throws. And that's part of what makes him so dominant, because the hitters can't tell what's coming. They literally have to guess, and it's, you know, it's so hard to pick it up. And he just, and it's insane to think about, like you guys were saying. He hasn't pitched in 13 months. You know, you might want to temper expectations. Maybe he's not as dominant as you say. No, that's all. He came back. It was just incredible to watch.
And he broke Darvish's record. 200 career starts, strikeouts. That's amazing.
It's incredible. It's incredible. And it's a shame that he was injured last year, because he was really having an historic season. So just one more on before we leave for the week. Brett Batty was promoted to AAA the other day, yesterday, I believe. Or maybe it was this morning. And I just want to get you guys' thoughts. You know, this is a win now team, but obviously, you know, Vientos is in AAA, Alvarez is in AAA. Now Beatty's in AAA. Maybe these are some guys that can come up in September. You know, God forbid someone gets injured down the stretch. But I think it's exciting to have three of your top five prospects and two of them who project to be, especially Alvarez, just one step away from the major league roster. And Beatty had an incredible season. Double A with OPS over 900, was the minor league of the month in July. So really exciting stuff, obviously, for the present day. First place team, you know, 103-104 win pace. Future with guys like Alvarez and Beatty and Vientos in the minors, just a call away from the 20.
Yeah, I mean, it's really great to have all these prospects, you know, sitting in AAA, ready for the call. At first I thought, okay, well, come September, you know, the roster expands, the Mets clinch, then they can call one of those guys up. But with the new playoffs, it's seeded now, right? So you want to get the first or second seed. You don't want to risk slipping back and facing the Padres or the Braves, because those two guys are probably going to be the second seed team to face. And you have, I think come spring training next year, it's going to be their opportunity to break the club like Pete Alonso did back in 2018. So I think that Alvarez is a little too young. He still needs a little bit more experience. You know, not hitting the bat. He's proven. It's just I don't think he's a bad defender, but he's got to work on some things. He's only 20 years old. I mean, catchers don't get called up until they're like 23 or 24. He's way too young. He's the same age as the guy we just drafted, Parada. I mean, it's ridiculous. We can't call him up right now and expect him to be like the best catcher. Let's let him mature a little bit. Batty's is phenomenal. I'm telling you, like, I think seeing him and Alonso in the same infield is going to be, seeing those two mash, they're going to be the new Bash Bros, I think. Vientos, I'm a little concerned about. I think he's going to be more of a platoon guy because he does have holes in his swings. But if he can learn to take more, I mean, he does take walks. That's the good thing. But if he can learn to strike out less, then, you know, he's – he'll be good. He'll be, especially against lefties. He'll be a decent guy to have too.
Yeah.
Stuff. Corn, anything to add?
Well, I agree with Dell. I don't think, and also it's worth mentioning that I think that the rosters expand to like 28.
Yes.
So I think the Mets will go with pitching for September. You know, getting some fresh arms, maybe a guy like Luke Casey, who can be who can come off the IL and just put on a 28-man roster. I think those guys will be the September call-ups. Maybe a third catcher. So maybe that's a slim chance for Alvarez, but I wouldn't do it. But I mean, right now the Mets are clicking offensively, so the catcher's position isn't really any of my concern right now, although they aren't hitting. Nito is, by the way, doing a fine job since the All-Star break, also getting some big hits. But that's not really a concern for me. I agree with Dell also about Alvarez, and I think it's worth mentioning that I do prefer defense in the catcher's position. So if the Mets say that he's defensively not ready, I wouldn't call him up to be that catcher. And for spring training, what Dell adds, I think the Mets have a lot of free agent spending, and we aren't going to resign them all. So definitely some spots will be open for a guy like Beatty, who maybe can be the guy who mans third base with Escobar moving more to a bench position. And trades, we might see some trades. I don't think Beatty, Alvarez are getting traded, but maybe I can see Vientos, because I do believe he's a DH. And like we have seen in this past trading deadline, right-handed DH, I mean, Ruff is a 36-year-old guy who mashes lefties. You can find those guys without really spending a lot. So right. I think Vientos will probably from the prospects.
Yeah, no, certainly exciting stuff. all around the roster, really, at the major league level with them being in first place and with the minor league talent performing the way it has, really, from a number of different guys. So
yeah,
that will do it for – oh, sorry, go ahead.
That's how you quickly, that's how you build winners. Build from within, have the prospects to step in, and those guys can be, I mean, those guys can be the depth guys where we, a couple of years ago, we had all those, you know, the AAA additions like Matt Adams or something like that. And now you have prospects who might be stars that waiting for their opportunity to be a big part when the Mets need depth. And I think that's a great thing. And it's win now and win in the future mentality that I love.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I just want to add also, I mean, now we don't have to call up a guy like Travis Blackenthorne. We can call up, you know, if we need a guy. Yes. We have a solid name that we can call up. All right. And then, you know, give them a cup of coffee and see how they do. And it's a good way to introduce them to the major league level versus, hey, here you are starting. Go start mashing.
Right. Yeah, no, certainly, you know, instead of Patrick Mazzucchi, it'll be Francisco Alvarez that comes up next year.
Right.
So, yeah, no, like I said, exciting stuff all around. Mets are in first place. Minor league players are playing well. And so this week, and the Phillies, and we will talk about those series next time on the Dorky Mets podcast. For Charlie DeLuca, I'm Charlie DeLuca, and always Del Alba and Cornet for joining us. We will talk to you next time.
All right. Have a good one. Let's go, Mets.
Let's go, Mets.